And so please bear with me for a little while as we study God's word together, focusing on the watchman's duty. The Bible tells us that the word of the Lord again came to Ezekiel. What prompted the Lord to encourage Ezekiel in this manner? Could it be that Ezekiel was a little disheartened, that he needed to be reminded of his ministry as a watchman? So the Lord gave him this illustration in the first 6 verses. You know what the watchman ought to do, Ezekiel? And then from verse 7 to verse 9, that's exactly what God requested Ezekiel to do. To warn the people regarding the sins that the people have committed. Ezekiel had been ministering the word of God for the past 12 years since his deportation from Jerusalem into Babylon. The time in which this word came to him is found in verse 17 of chapter 32. We are told that it was the 12th year and it was the 15th day of the month. What month was it? Verse 1 of 32 tells us that it was the 12th month. So it was the 15th day of the 12th month that the Lord once again gave these words to Ezekiel. But what was the background that prompted God to speak to Ezekiel in this manner, to lift up his spirit, to encourage him, to remind him of his ministry? We shall find that in verse 21 of Ezekiel 33. And it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, so it was likely under 2 months, that Ezekiel received news from someone from Jerusalem itself who had escaped the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, by the way, Jerusalem was destroyed in 586 BC. It took this person about a year to come to Ezekiel and to give him news of what had occurred, in particular, the mindset of the people of Israel. Verse 22, "Now the hand of the Lord was upon me in the evening, for he that was escaped came," just before the one who escaped came to him, "and had opened my mouth until he came to me in the morning. And my mouth was opened, and I was no more dumb. And then the word of the Lord came to me, saying," and this was what the Son of Man said, "they that inhabit those ways of the land of Israel speak, saying to him," Abraham was one, and he inherited the land. Abraham was only one family, and God gave him the entire land to live in. But we are many. The land is given us for inheritance. And so this was the statement of the people. Abraham was one man, one family, and God gave him the entire piece of land. And we are more than Abraham, in numbers at least. And therefore, the land is given to us for our inheritance. We will continue to live in this land. For as long as we are a people of God, we will be in this land. A kind of a complacency has set in. The people of Israel doesn't care or doesn't bother with how they live their lives. They were so sure that they will have this land of Palestine forever and ever. Because God gave it to Abraham and he was one man, the whole land. What more? Over 2 million more people. But God says otherwise in verse 25. "Wherefore, son of man, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, ye eat with the blood." They knew that they were not supposed to eat blood from the scriptures. You find that taught in Genesis chapter 9, as well as in Leviticus. But the people didn't care. They continued to eat blood. "Lift up your eyes toward the idols." They were idolatrous, as well as shedding blood. "Shall ye possess the land?" God asks. Verse 26. "Ye stand upon your sword. You trust not in God, but in the arm of the flesh." You trusted in your sword and your ability to wield the weapon. Military might is your security, not in God. "Ye work abomination." They offered their own children to the gods. They committed all forms of idolatrous worship and sexual sin. They ill-treated the poor. They cheated And finally, God said, you defiled everyone, his neighbor's wife. And shall ye possess the land? Say thou thus unto them, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely they that are in the waste shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beast to be devoured, and they that be be in the forts and in the caves shall die of the pestilence. For I will lay the land most desolate, and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord, when I have laid the land most desolate because of all the abominations which they have committed. This was the news that was given to Ezekiel from God to this man who came to tell him, Jerusalem is gone. All that Ezekiel had preached earlier, the first 30-odd chapters, have come to pass. Israel, Judah, no more. No more place of worship. No more a people of God. There is no more this city of David. And Ezekiel, perhaps, was a little shattered, a little distressed, and definitely, perhaps also very down. His ministry had been vindicated. Is that all there is to it? There was no joy in Ezekiel's heart when all that he had spoken regarding the destruction of Israel and the death of so many of his loved ones, his people. Oh, they were his loved ones, the Jews. He was a Jew. And now many of them died. And he was saddened. And so, less than 2 months, when these words came to him, God encouraged him. Ezekiel, you are a watchman. And so we have the duty of the watchman defined for us in the first 9 verses. His duty is very simple. In those days, the cities of the people were unlike our kind of city where there is no high wall to define the boundaries. We do not know where the cities of the world begin and where it ends, because they just continue to spread as far out as they can grow, and people just build their houses and the cities will grow. But in those days, because of the way that they fight and defend themselves, all the cities, especially the fortified ones, will be built on top of a hill or a mountain if possible, like in Jerusalem, 3,000 feet above sea level, where they can build their high walls to protect themselves. And with this elevation that they have, they can see all around the city that if there were any enemy that would come, they can warn their people and they can defend themselves very, very well. And so these cities will have high walls surrounding them to protect them. And on top of these high walls, they will build watchtowers. And they will place lookout individuals, or called watchmen. Their job is just to look out. Look out for enemies who will come, like sentries or guard duties. And when they see the enemies arriving, their duty was simply to blow the trumpet. There will be a manner in which they will blow the trumpet, whereby it is to sound the alarm. Other time when they blow the trumpet in another manner to tell them it is time for worship. But there is a distinct sound when they blow the trumpet for war. The people ought to come. And so the watchman's duty was simple, as we have read. If he did not blow the trumpet to warn the people, his own people, of the arrival of enemies, and the enemies infiltrated into their cities, killed many. The Bible tells us that the blood of these who die because of the failure to blow the trumpet by the watchman, it will be upon the head of the watchman. But if the watchman were to blow the trumpet and the people disregarded his warning, then the blood will be upon the hands of these people, no more on the watchman. The watchman is spared. The blood of these people will not be required of him. And with this illustration, God told Ezekiel, this is your ministry, Ezekiel, verse 7. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the people. Yes, they were destroyed. The cities that you love has been destroyed. The temple, no more. Destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. But you must do what you have to do, Ezekiel. You are my watchman, God told him. A watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. His ministry is warning. You hear what God has told you to say, to speak, and all you need to do is to speak to them exactly what God has told you to do. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked of his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. The ministry of warning is most necessary today. But we do not hear people warning. On the other hand, because of the ecumenical movement, we have so-called evangelicals, but they call themselves new evangelicals, and said to say even some new evangelicals are found within the BP movement. They have fellowship with those who deny the faith, with those who reject that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, the only mediator between God and man. They have fellowship with them. They have peace on earth at the expense of truth. And so, therefore, they failed in the ministry of warning. And God wanted Ezekiel, you have a difficult task, but what you have done all these 12 years, is right. You have warned them, even though news have arrived to you that these people did not heed your warning, but you did your best. You have warned them about their sin, about what they have done, that they cannot sit on their laurels and think that, well, just because God had given the land to Abraham, you will always have the land. They will not always have the land. They have sinned, and we know the sins that they have committed. Rejected God, trust in idols, trust in the arms of the flesh, in military might, and no more in God, and God is not mocked. And so God sent Ezekiel to warn them. But nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his ways to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul, your own soul. You have done your best, Ezekiel. The watchman's duty is to warn. But I do not want us to focus on the watchman's duty as if we, all of us, are watchmen. But this morning, I'd like us, especially on the last Lord's Day of this year, to be on the receiving end of the warning from the watchman. For Ezekiel is the watchman from God. Because very often, because we think that we are the watchman telling people about the ecumenical movement, about the falsehood of charismatism and all the many isms, we think that we are all right. So this morning, or like us, all of us, to be on the receiving end of the warning from the watchman, Ezekiel, God's word to us. This sins that Israel committed against God when they were so sure that they will forever be in the land that God gave to Abraham. But now the land was not theirs anymore. It belongs to a heathen nation, most vile, the Babylonians. They were shocked. Calvin has done a very good job in systematizing the scriptures for us, whereby we have a clear understanding of the doctrine of God, doctrine of the second person of the Trinity, of the Holy Spirit, as well as of the church, of salvation, and so on. And we all know that from the study of scriptures, which John Calvin has systematized, that once we are saved, we will always be saved. And that is true. No one can take us out of the hand of God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Our salvation is 100% secured. But the question is, are you really saved? They thought that they will always have the enjoyment of this land of promise, protected by Almighty God. No one can touch us. No one can remove us from this land. Yes. No one can remove them from this land, but God removed them from this land. God was not just no one. I am not saying that God can take away that salvation from you. But if you are truly born again, there must be certain fruits of the Spirit that must be seen in our lives. We cannot tell God that after I'm saved, this is how I want to live my Christian life, and you must cut and fit what you expect from me according to what I want. Lord, that is not discipling. Jesus told his disciples, if you want to come after me, you must follow me. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus says. We must accept what God has offered to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ on his terms. That is, unconditionally. We cannot dictate terms to God. God, I want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, but on my terms. You forgive me of my sin, give me a place in heaven, but let me live my own life, no matter how terrible it may be, never mind, but please let's make sure my place in heaven is secured. How is it different from the Jews? They have a warped understanding of the covenant that God made with them. They failed to understand the law of Moses. Please do not fail to understand what God means, what God has revealed to us. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, it must be on his terms, not on our terms. Not on our terms. Very often, we do not pray as we ought. Isn't it? It is so true, isn't it? We pay lip service to God. I'm not pointing a finger at you, I'm pointing a finger at myself. Like pastor, like people, we are all on the same boat. If we deceive ourselves, God is not mocked. God knows. God knows how short we give our time to God in prayer, how mundane our prayer lives have become, how still we find reading the Word of God. No more joy, no more thrill like it was before when we first received the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we walk our own way. No more the straight and narrow path given by God. No more. We do what we feel is the barest minimum and think that, well, God, I have given to you my all according to my own definition. Please don't expect me to do anything else. One message a Sunday is all that I need to grow in faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for over 250 have signed up for the Sunday school. Now, I'm not trying to be pessimistic or to discourage you, but how many will still be found in those classes at the end of this new year, 1997? Let's say not the end, the first 3 months. How many will have the stickability, the perseverance to go all the way? There is no end, no cap in the study of God's Word. No limit. How can we ever say that we have exhausted the Word of God? Far from it, isn't it? The Word of God is inexhaustible. Inexhaustible. Study the Word of God. Ask God to help us to have a love for prayer and a love for the study of His truth. That was the problem with the Israelites. Look at what they said. Verse 10. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? The Israelites realize that the judgment of God was upon them. God had taken away their land. God had raised their city to the ground. Public place of worship, the temple, had been destroyed, and so therefore there is no way they can bring their offerings to God now. And so the Israelites asked, what shall we do now? What then do we do to live? And so God told Ezekiel to tell the people, you think I delight in punishing you? You think I delight in sending a heathen nation to destroy you? To destroy the city of David? To destroy the temple that I asked Solomon to build? And so God said in verse 11, as I live, say the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, no pleasure at all. Why do you think God sent Jeremiah and Ezekiel to warn you, to speak to you the word of God that you may turn from your evil ways? But that the wicked turn from his way and live. God desired everyone to live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? This is God's justice. Therefore, thou son of man, say to the children of my people, of your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. In other words, you and I cannot rest upon former righteousness. You see, in this chapter, the focus is on the outward life. Not so much upon the inward faith, but on the outward life, the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible's teaching is that the inward faith must be reflected by an outward change in our behavior, in our life, in our thinking, in our motivation. These two are intrinsically linked together. They cannot be detached. You cannot say that I have a spiritual life in church, but I have a secular life and I do my thing any way I like. But on church, I go by the rules. We worship in this manner, we sing the right hymn, and so on and so forth. We play church. And then when we go out, we live a totally different life, have my own principles, my own way and style of living. If they cheat, I cheat. If they tell lies, I tell lies. If they backstab people, I backstab, and so on and so forth. They slap me one way, I slap them twice the other way, and so on. Our own principles. God says no. And this focus is on the external. Don't think that just because you have lived a righteous life in the past, your former righteousness will not stand if you sin today, and thinking that you will forever have a place in heaven. If your life is but a mockery, there is no true change in your heart and in your life. I know of someone who on Sunday school can memorize scriptures, whereby whenever there is an award for the best person who have hidden God's word in the head, that person wins. That person, so gifted that she topped the Sunday school classes. When there is an award at the end of every Sunday school term, her name will always be there, targeted to be the new leader, one of the new leaders of the church. Very apt, very, very capable, led the young people in this and in that. But now this person doesn't attend church anymore. This person has gone the way of the world. This person smokes. This person is now a professed, I was told, homosexual. Saved in the past, exactly like many of us, attend church faithfully, regularly. Hide God's word in the head, but not in the heart. Where then is your faith? Where then is our faith? Let it be seen in our life. Don't just talk about Christianity. Walk Christianity. Let it be seen. Let it be seen. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts in his own righteousness, and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, God said, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin, and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walked in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. He shall not, it is not too late. If we have been deceiving God all these while, if we have been living a life of pretending, a hypocrite, God says it is not too late. The ministry of the watchman is more than just warning, but it is also the ministry of a peacemaker to draw man back to God where man can make peace with his Creator all over again. It is not too late, dearly beloved. Not too late, even though it may be the last Lord's Day of 1996. By God's grace and mercy, if he tarries, there is still 1997 where you and I can make amends. And by God's grace and with His strength, let us not play Christianity. Let us live it out in our lives, whereby each one of us means business for God. We may have sinned by not praying enough. We may have sinned by not reading God's word enough. But all these can come to a halt right here and now if we were to make a covenant with God that by His grace, will you endeavor once again to read His word faithfully every day without fail, every day. Pray and ask God before you read to grant us the illumination. And after every passage or every chapter that you read, pray, Lord, what hast thou for me this morning as I read the word? What is your message for me? What have you got to teach me concerning myself, concerning thee, concerning my life? Show me, help me, and the Lord will show us. And then read another chapter. At the end of another chapter, pray again. Read scripture and pray. Read scripture and pray. Spend time quietly with the Lord. With the Lord. We can't do it with our own strength, but the Lord will help us. None of his sins that he had committed shall be mentioned unto him. He had done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. It is not too late. Let your salvation be one that what Paul says, let it be one that been examined with fear and with trembling. Let us all work out our own salvation. Not another person, but our own. God knows whether you and I are His children, or are we playing. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal, God says. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall thereby live. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall have salvation, forgiveness of sin. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you, every one, after his way. The watchman must persevere. The Lord is long-suffering. He will be patient. But please realize, dear friend, that the long-suffering of God and His patience, they are not infinite. It may be long. It may even be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. He has preserved your life and my life for a purpose. If you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God has kept you thus far. Think back on how many, many things could have happened to you and your life could have been taken. But God has a plan for you and He has spared you. And you are now alive, healthy and strong, still breathing because of God's grace. Delay no longer in giving your life to Him. That is the only way. Whosoever keepeth his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for Jesus' sake will keep it. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 9, do not be like the Israelites. Verse 30, also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls, and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Oh, they have a longing and a desire to hear what Ezekiel has to say. And yet God knows. Look at verse 31. And they come unto thee, Ezekiel, as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Is this a description
of Calvary BP Church Pandan. If the Lord were to give an account of this church, will this be His words of us? Oh, we come to church. We come to hear good messages, we say. But we don't do them. What's the point of saying the song is good, the voice is pleasant, but we do not do the words? And when this cometh to pass, Ezekiel, then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. Ezekiel, the watchman of God, has given to us the warning. He has also given the words whereby we can make peace with God. May we not respond like the people of Israel of old. They come, they hear, they say good things, but they do not do. May God help us. May God be merciful to us. And may the Holy Spirit bring conviction to our hearts that we may not play with Him anymore, but we be serious with God. For perhaps the year 1997 may be the final year, the final year where God's people can truly be His witness, where some of us may truly find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O merciful Father, we bow before Thee on the last Lord's Day of 1996, with our hearts smitten by the words of Thy prophet, the watchman Ezekiel. O Lord, how we have played Christianity and not lived out Christianity in our lives. We have not sought Thee as we ought. We have not read and studied the Scriptures and searched the Scriptures as we ought. We have not been meek. We have not been forgiving to one another. We have not been kind. And we have not been Thy witnesses. O Lord, forgive us. There is so much that we have done that have displeased Thee. Cleanse Thy people, O Lord. If the Lord tarries for another year, in the year 1997, may Calvary BP Church in Pandan be a different church, a church that is revived, a church that will live for the Lord Jesus Christ. May there be a thirsting and a hungering for Thy truth, where Thy people would search the Scriptures and to study it and to provoke one another and to love and to good deeds and to learn forgiveness. O Lord, help us. Help us. For Jesus' sake. In His name we pray. Amen.